I'm so excited to have you guys. Like God is blessed. Why don't y'all stand up for me? Not the rest of you guys, the global team. I'm sorry. I need to be a little bit more explicit in that. Why don't you come up here real quick, and then Dan, I'm gonna let you introduce them. But I just felt like I needed to pray over you guys before I really sit in. We are so blessed to be part of a wider family. And Global Awakening is a ministry that Randy Clark started a number of years ago. And Randy's traveled all over the world and has seen millions of people come to know Christ, millions of people activated into their kingdom calling, just encountering the Holy Spirit, stepping into the fullness of gifts. They started a school for supernatural ministry up in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg. And we've been part of ANGA, which is the Association of Churches, for a number of years now. Personally, I've been on a trip to both, it was Thailand and Singapore, and that's when I saw the first deaf ear opened up. One of the most profound things I've ever experienced was watching a person born deaf and who's an adult all of a sudden here for the first time. It all came from the cover of what God has done through Randy's life, and so we're so blessed about it and with it. And so when we got the opportunity to be able to partner with these guys, they're all second year students from GSSM. We just jumped at it, saying this is where we're going. Because I want you to hear me. This is not just about a single outreach, but this house is a house that's a training and equipping center. We're moving towards, especially with some partnership of our other church friends here in the region, of starting a school for supernatural ministry here in the region. And so when I see what God's doing in their life, to me, it's like it just lights that vision and that power. So it means we must be willing to open up opportunities, because they're just like you guys. And they said yes to Jesus. And God's going to do powerful things, we know, in their lives too. So if you guys, and Kelly, why don't you come over? Linda, she's in here. I just want to get our elders real quick. I just want to pray over them real fast. So if y'all extend out a hand of blessing, and we're just going to release just a powerful impartation of all that God wants to do. Yeah, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Shoo. We thank you for the gift of seeing into the Spirit. We thank you for the gift of knowing you deeply. Lord, we thank you for the gift that each one of these burning ones carries in you. And Lord, as we receive them as a part of this family, we just say release and impartation for greater things into this house, Lord. Prophetic words, prophetic insight, healing power, words of knowledge and wisdom, that it would not just happen here, but God, it would take them all over the world, everywhere you put their foot. It would be a territory for them to take. Yeah, especially into the dark places. I want us to honor who they are in you. Yeah. Yeah, we just say amen, Jesus. Why don't y'all stand up and why don't y'all just welcome them?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jay. My name's Dan, and we're all second-year students at the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, and this is David Hazard, and you've heard of Koa, and it's Alana. Say Alana. And that is Sharon, and on the end is Margaret, and we don't have time. I could tell you lots of stories about these people. They're positive, and boy, there's a powerful prophetic and healing anointing on everyone. I've seen them operate in the miraculous on many occasions. We're operating words of knowledge. So at the end of the service today, you'll have the opportunity to come up and have them pray for you, and I'll be available as well. So I really encourage you to do that. We've got plenty of time. We're here to serve you and to be a blessing. So I encourage you to, let them pray, lay hands on you, and let you have it today at the end of the service. All right? All right. Well, bless you guys. We're going to jump into this thing this morning. I'm not trying to like say I know everything, and I've been on a staff for like over 35 years, a church staff. I've been in all kinds of churches. I've put on conferences and everything. I just want to say, Pastor Jay, this is one of the most healthy churches I've been a part of. And do you realize how few churches disciple? and equip people like Pastor Jay and Pastor Cindy are doing, do you realize how rare and how rare it is for a church to welcome a team in like us and train, and like you did during your service, training people to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? It is so rare. So I just commend you guys. And I want to give you the opportunity to bless your staff. And this morning, when we were gathering here, we were getting wrecked today by a verse, a few verses in Hosea chapter 11. And I want to declare these over you. But before we do, I just want to give the people of Legacy Church the opportunity just to bless you. So if you're a staff pastor, I just want you to stand where you are. I just want you to stand where you are. I've never been a senior pastor. I've been always like a number two on staff. You know, I've been college pastor and missions pastor and worship pastor. But I've begged God, never make me the senior pastor, because I've seen the weight, like people just unload. Come on, some of you I've unloaded on these people, but they can't share it. They can't share the burden of people's problems that have been laid upon their shoulders. And so I want to just challenge you in Jesus' name with love and honor and respect. When their birthday comes up, it should be a big deal. Christmas should be a big deal. Secret, anonymous cash blessings to them, and there should be a blessing to their children. And just honor these amazing people, because they are, the Father's placed them here as shepherds over you, and they're equipping you to be shepherds, and they're doing a great job. So just, I want to say, so let's just bless them, right? Just put your hands towards them. Father, we bless this staff in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and just pour out grace upon all of us today, that we can be a blessing to this leadership in the church, to honor them and respect them, not elevate them in a place they shouldn't be, but just to be a blessing to them and their children and their family. In Jesus' name, to take time to daily pray for them and declare blessings over them, and to refuse to participate in any kind of critical, judgmental, backbiting, anti-unity discussions or feelings, that we will just be a house of unity and blessing to the entire staff and everyone in this building. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, remain standing. So can you put this picture up, Roxanne? God bless you, Roxanne. We were getting wrecked by this, and I just want to declare this word over you. And let's just read this together, okay? I really sense this, God, and believe there's a lot of verses in there, are a lot of messages out of this passage. Let's read this together, okay? And this is Hosea chapter 11, verse 8 through 10. Let's read it. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboim? My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. They shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion, and when he roars, then his sons and daughters shall come trembling from the west. And I want to declare today, there is a roar coming out of this house. There is a sound of salvation. There is a sound of raising from the dead. There's a sound of salvation. There's a sound of the Holy Spirit. There's a sound of healing and deliverance coming out of this house, and it's roaring across this region. The epicenter is right here under my feet, the house of Legacy Church, and you're in it. So be blessed today. There's a roar. I want to hear you guys roar. One, two, three. Yeah! Yeah! All right. Well, God bless you. Yeah. Didn't that feel good? Yeah. Man, we were so blessed yesterday. Yeah, we are learning so much from you. I was telling Pastor, I'm going to be bragging to some of my pastor friends about what you all did yesterday. What a great paradigm for ministry and reaching into community. I was praying for a guy yesterday who was an Iraq war vet, and we were just talking, and he acted like everything was great, but then all of a sudden he confided in me that he couldn't hear out of his left ear, and he had from the Iraq war. He was a veteran. in the Army. He couldn't hear in his left ear, and he had ringing in it too. And it really, it was causing him a lot of stress, and he couldn't hear his son. He was saying, when my son talks to me sometimes, I can't hear him. And so I prayed, you know, like just like we, the five-step prayer model just works. I just prayed for him four or five different times, and it all went from a 10 to zero. He had complete healing in his left ear. And then I prayed for the ringing, prayed about maybe three or four times, went from 10 to 9 to 1 to 0, and all the ringing was gone. And he kept feeling his ear. You know how when you feel your ear, you can hear it? So he was kept feeling, oh, wow, I can hear my hand touch my ear. It was really, so man, I mean, God is just working in this place. I mean, he is letting it rip. I want to try to kill a few sacred cows in the body of Christ today, if that's okay. I'm gonna be really nice about it. But I just close your eyes for a moment. It's 78 years ago. 70, it's not that long ago, and you are a soldier in the British Army. And you're standing on a beach in a resort town in France. Beautiful. It's May. It's springtime. You're standing on a beach. But in that time of history, Japan has overrun China and millions of people are being murdered. Men, women, and children. Adolf Hitler has stormed across Europe. He's taken over Czechoslovakia, Poland. He's overrun France, Belgium, Luxembourg. He's overrun Paris. And his panzer divisions are just a few kilometers from you. And 330,000 other soldiers from England, France, and Belgium. That's you on the beach. Now look this way. You're trapped. You're being strafed by enemy aircraft. You're being shelled by the German army. And you're thinking in your mind, hey, if the Allied command could have got me off this beach, they would have done it already. And the Allied command, they estimated they could only rescue about 25% of these men. Yeah, this little town, this resort town called Dunkirk on the western shore of France, was this historic place because out of the blue, not on anybody's radar screen, hundreds of civilians in personal watercraft, fishing boats, yachts, spent 3 days. They crossed the English Channel under enemy fire, and they risked their lives to save these soldiers. They saved all of them, 330,000. So take a deep breath. You're going to be rescued. You're not trapped anymore, okay? These men that were rescued by the civilians didn't do this because of what these men might be able to do for them. It wasn't like, hey, I'll get you off that beach at Dunkirk if you'll do something for me. They rescued these men. They risked their lives because of who they were. They were fellow countrymen. They were partners in this worldwide effort to defeat Adolf Hitler and the evil that was spreading across the planet. In the same way, Adam and Eve were trapped. Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had surrendered the keys to sin and death and dominion over the earth to Satan himself. But it wasn't on Satan's radar screen or Adam and Eve's radar screen that generation after generation after generation of men and women would enter into covenant with the Lord God, Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai. And through that series of covenant making, it would produce the birth of the Son of the Living God, Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ in the earth, who would redeem the world and get us out of this mess that Adam and Eve started. God is not interested in restoring Eden. He's in the business of invading this planet and bringing heaven on earth through you and me. Today, today. He wants to do it. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul talks about the good fight of faith. And it's a good fight because it's rigged. It's rigged for you to win. We fight from victory, not towards victory, only because we're in covenant with a covenant God who is always faithful, even when we are not faithful. Covenant is a thing that the Western world needs to learn about. You know, American Indians, they understand covenant. I'm from Oklahoma. I have a lot of Native American friends. Their whole issue with the history of the American Indian, this nation, when they made a treaty with the white man, in their mind, they were making covenant. Where the United States, when we were making a treaty, we were making a contract that could be broken. So in a covenant tribe, in a covenant community, if you break covenant, it's death. Because when you break covenant, you're risking the lives of women and children and the entire community. We need to understand covenant. Covenant, in God's eyes, is a life-changing agreement. It involves the agape love of God, the relentless, passionate, selfless, never-ending covenant love of God. It involves a blood sacrifice. In this instance, it's the blood of his only son. And covenants are eternal. They never end. A long time ago, I'm trying to think how long ago this was. In the mid-90s, I discovered this giant, like, goiter on my neck. And it kind of scared the snot out of me, honestly. And so, finally, you know, just the doctors determined it was not a big deal, just this big mass of water and cyst stuff. So, 12 years later, in the midst of caring for my dad, who had dementia, who was my home, was a very stressful time. My endocrine system, my thyroid system, just went nuts. I mean, my feet were on fire, my hands were on fire, my face was on fire. Everything didn't move. My eyelids moved, my nose moved, my ears moved, my fingers moved, my toes moved. I mean, I had jerking, and it was, insane symptoms. And nobody really understood what was going on. The doctors didn't understand what was going on. My church didn't understand what was going on. My wife didn't understand what was going on. I was void of faith. I was void. I mean, the idea that of faith and believing in God, that God wanted me well, I just could not grasp it. I was so consumed with fear and anxiety and stress. And in my time of just reaching out and crying out to God, I heard these words. He said, "Dan, don't fight fair. Take communion." So I started having communion. I grew up Catholic, and I was part of a Baptist church. And at that time, I was out of Assembly of God, and I started taking communion. And things started to change. Things started to change. The trap that I was in, God used the covenant celebration of his body and blood sacrifice to get me out of a huge mess. Everybody say, don't fight fair. Don't fight. It's rigged. This fight is rigged. The good fight of faith is rigged. If Jesus is the standard, right? I mean, he is a standard, right? If Jesus is the standard for healing, you know, Jesus never taught anybody to pray for the sick. Not one time. He taught the disciples how to heal the sick. Right? And in the same way, when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," the vast majority of the Western church focuses on remembrance, on a mental ascendancy, remembering what Jesus did in the cross, remembering what he did in terms of rising from the dead. But even the enemy remembers. Every time you say, "In Jesus' name, be healed," the enemy remembers. So Celebrating communion is not remembering mentally what Jesus did. Sacred cow number one I want to kill is that one right there. Jesus said, do this. What did he do? Roxanne, can you put that scripture up for me? Luke, was it Luke 20? Yeah, Luke 22:19. Now, this same passage is almost exactly the same in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark and 1 Corinthians 11. Almost exactly word for word, okay? Let's read it out together. Read it out loud. Here we go. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So there were four steps that Jesus did in this scripture passage, and it's reflected in all the four references I just mentioned to you. And we're going to do some hand motions. We're going to physically, symbolically represent each step that Jesus took, okay? So let's take bread. Just take some bread and put your hands out like this. Okay. Hold the bread out there. When Jesus took bread, he was taking inventory of his life, of his ministry, all the successes, all the miracles, all the healings. And he was also taking account of the failures that Jerusalem did not turn back to the Father like he wanted. And he wept over Jerusalem. Just the whole inventory. So when you're taking communion, you're taking inventory of where you're at. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay? And the second thing that Jesus did, he gave thanks. So we're going to give thanks. Make your hands like you're praying. We're giving thanks to the Father for all that he did. He gets all the glory. Thank you, Father. Jesus thanked the Father because he was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, right? I only say the things I hear the Father saying. I only do the things I see the Father doing. So we give thanks. Number three, Jesus broke it. Break the bread. Break the bread. You choose the Father's will over your own. You make a quality covenant commitment to choose the Father's will over your own. And the fourth thing that Jesus did, you give it away. So give it away. Yeah. You give yourself away, just like Jesus did, right? That's what communion is. That's like renewing your marriage vows. When a married couple renew their vows, they're renewing their covenant commitment to each other, to cherish each other, to love each other all the days of their lives, right? Okay, that's what communion should be. Hallelujah. Yeah. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he was a four-term president in the 30s and early 40s during World War II. He would have these huge banquets and receptions like all presidents do at the White House. And there'd be long reception lines, okay? And so he'd be there like a couple hours greeting person after person after person. And he noticed that no matter what he said to any of the guests, he got the same response. Excellent job, Mr. President. We're behind you, Mr. President. Keep up the good work. So he decided one day he would kind of shake things up. So the next person he greeted, he said, oh, it's so great to have you at the White House today. Last night, I murdered my grandmother. And they would say, great job, Mr. President. Keep up the good work. We're behind you. And so person after person would say the same thing, no matter how many times he said he murdered his grandmother, until he came to the ambassador of Bulgaria. And so the ambassador walks up, and FDR says, Mr. Ambassador, it's so great to have you at the White House today. Last night, I murdered my grandmother. And the ambassador leans over to FDR and says, Mr. President, I'm sure she had it coming. So many in the body of Christ just go through the ritual of communion. They go through that ritual and never really think about what they're saying or what they're doing. It just becomes rote. It just becomes something that the church just goes through the motions, and it's lost so much of its power and meaning. But today, we're going to take it back, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 1 and 2, Paul talks about the hidden wisdom of God. The hidden wisdom of God was a trap that God set before the foundation of the world. If you do a study about what God did before the foundation of the world, it's amazing. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was ordained. Before the foundation of the world, your name was written in the Lamb's book of life. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen and predestined to be conformed to the image of God. If God could find one man who would be willing to give up his only son in the midst of a corrupted world where Adam and Eve had surrendered the keys to sin and death, dominion over the earth to Satan. If he could find one man who would be willing to give up his only son, then the Father would have legal rights to do the same thing. Just as sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's disobedience, through the covenant obedience of Abraham, through years of covenant making and being friends with Jehovah God, the Father asked Abraham to give up his only son. And when Abraham raised that knife and was about to sacrifice his only son, the angel stopped him. And that moment, the Father won legal rights to plant his son into this earth as the Messiah, and Savior of the world. That was the first part of the trap. The second part of the trap was that when Jesus came, he was a prophet, and the Father knew that the enemy would approach Jesus like he did all the other prophets. He would try to kill him. But the difference between the prophets and Jesus was that Jesus was sinless. The previous prophets weren't free of sin. They couldn't be the spotless Lamb of God. But Jesus was an innocent man, and he was a man. This is something I want to talk to you about, covenant and how it impacts us. Jesus never one second ceased to be God, but he never operated as God, not one time during his earthly ministry. If he had crossed that line for even a second, he couldn't be a sinless man. He couldn't ask us to do what he did. He couldn't challenge us to do greater works than he did. Ask yourself this. Why would God have to be anointed? How can you kill God? Why would God have to be limited to only doing what he saw the Father doing and only saying what he heard the Father saying? Why? In Hebrews chapter 1, why would God need to be begotten, where it says in Hebrews chapter 1, O God, today I have begotten thee. And later in the same chapter, why would God need a scepter of righteousness? Jesus became the first born-again man. God decided to make covenant with himself because man had a perfect track record of breaking every single covenant up to that point. Everyone, he broke it, right? So the Father made covenant with himself through his Son so that when we give our lives to him and we make covenant with Jesus, we automatically have covenant with the Father. Does that make sense? Look, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough that Jesus carried away all of our sicknesses, weaknesses, distress, and pain upon his shoulders in Isaiah 53. It wasn't enough that the punishment of our shalom, our nothing missing, nothing broken covenant of God was upon him. It wasn't enough that he was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions. It wasn't enough that by his wounds we were healed. No, God's plan before the foundation of the world was to make every single one of us the perfect conduit of the Holy Spirit, to be a tabernacle of God himself. Have you ever felt like, hey, what would the earth be like if Adam hadn't sinned? and we could be back in the Adam, and like Adam in the Garden of Eden. No, this sacred cow number two. Adam was the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam, the first born again man, the firstborn of many brethren. The King of Kings, that's you. The Lord of Lords, that's you. Before the foundation of the world, God set in motion to make your earth suit the perfect home, house of himself. And he did it so he could raise the dead and heal the sick and take the enemy and command the enemy to take a flying leap for mankind. To release heaven on earth, wherever you place your feet. You were designed to do that before the foundation of the world. Take your arm and hold your arm and look at your arm and say this. This is not the real me. This is my earth suit on loan from the Heavenly Father. Yeah, we are constantly judging ourselves and other people by this outward earth suit, right? Which is, by the way, an outrageous, awesome miracle. I mean, the proteins, the little bitty microscopic proteins that are walking around like aliens and all these little microbes and DNA and RNA that are just flowing and functioning in billions of cells that are operating in your body. It's a miracle. But we were chosen to be the sons and daughters of the living God, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The race, we are a race of last Adams, born again men and women, sons and daughters of the living God. It's rigged. Jesus, I was reading it, I wish I had, I don't have time to go over it, but Jesus is still operating as a born again man at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us even now. Even now, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Why? Because he's still operating as the last Adam. So let's practice this covenant thing. Let's practice not fighting fair. Let's practice the rig fight, okay? Let's take bread. Take inventory of your life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And let's give thanks. Give thanks to the Father for all that he's done. We give thanks to you, Father. Give thanks to the Father, and that we make a covenant, quality decision to choose the Father's will over our own. We break the bread, and then we give ourselves away. Don't fight fair. It's rigged. So awesome. All ministry, let's talk about this. The Western world operates via contract, where the kingdom operates with covenant. Under contract, we choose our friends, people we like and we don't like, based on the law of expectations. Most Christians, if you don't fulfill my expectations at whatever particular church I'm attending, I vote with my feet and I leave. Forgiveness is optional. We choose to stay in our own little comfy world. And the agreements, the covenants we break are really contracts, and we break them, and we just do whatever we want. Versus, that's really the phileo. There are six words for the word love in the Greek. And the word phileo represents God's, the friendship kind of love. But covenant is family. It's not about what you can do for me. It's about who you are. As covenant, I arrive and I associate with you not to try to get something from you, but to serve you. As covenant, I embrace the whole body. I don't pick and choose my friends. I'm directed by the Holy Spirit in the relationships that he's calling me to. Forgiveness is mandatory. It's not optional. To love somebody and to encounter fellowship with my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, I have to leave my world and enter theirs. This covenant is unbreakable and involves the agape love of God, not phileo, the covenant, charity, relentless, passionate, never ceasing, never ending, will never get up, love of God. There's a price for not operating out of covenant. It talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. It says many, Paul's talking about community. He says, many among you are sick and weak and some are asleep because you're celebrating the Lord's Supper in a dishonorable way. I just want to submit to you that if the body of Christ celebrated communion the way Jesus did, if we did what he told us to do when he said, do this, just think. Worship would be instantaneous. We would be unoffendable. We would stop judging each other. Tithing would be the greatest financial opportunity on the planet. We would all jump at the chance to pray for every single person we ran into. We would be totally open to the Holy Spirit. We would stop disqualifying ourselves from what God wants to do in our lives. We would see ourselves as a perfect conduit the Holy Spirit designed before the foundation of the world. We would see ourselves as God's favorite. You know, you're God's favorite. And he's so big and so humongo that you're his favorite too. There's room for every one of us to be his favorite. All ministry flows through relationship. All of it. Family is what you're called to be in God's house. The word surrender, it's better to surrender to God than not to surrender. But the word surrender is not in the New Testament. It's not in the New Testament vocabulary. What God had in mind was, well, think about this. Let's say it's your anniversary, Pastor Jay. What's your wife's name?
Kelly.
God bless you, Kelly. So let's say, Jay, it's your anniversary, and you buy a Hallmark card. But the Hallmark card, it's a surrender card, and you're reading it. And you get on one knee, and you say, Kelly, we'll do it your way. I surrender. You're the boss, you know. I'll choose your will over mine, you know. That'd be so romantic. I mean, wouldn't it? Yes, disobedience to God is going to get you in a lot of trouble. Okay? But what God has in mind is for you to run and jump into his arms and put your arms around. Look, for all the awesomeness of people getting healed and delivered and saved and raising people from the dead, God's excited about doing that stuff because he gets to be with you and do fun stuff with you. He wants to be with you. He made you the tabernacle of the Most High because he can't live without you. He can't live without you. Family, you know, you guys, okay, so Jay and Kelly, you guys, how long have you been married? 19 years, hallelujah. Okay, let's have a round of applause. 19 years, that's fantastic, okay. So, do you ever tell Kelly just straight up what you want? Kelly, do you ever tell Jay? That's family. Okay, so Jack Taylor, this is Jack Taylor. He's also the father of the house of Global. Did you all know that? He is Randy Clark's spiritual father, the head of our school, Dr. Mike Hutchings. He's his spiritual father. I ran into Jack Taylor as a college pastor, worship pastor in Stillwater, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State University at a Baptist church. He came several times. So I asked Jack. Jack teaches at our school a couple times a year. So I asked Jack, can you tell me about the Lord's Prayer and how there's kind of like a commanding prayer we're not really asking? And he, you know, Jack, and you see him. He kind of got this imaginary holster and he had his gun. He says, I got my six shooter ready and I'm ready to answer that question. And I'm letting all six bullets go. And he was like being so a clown. He's hysterical. But this is what he said. He said that the Lord's Prayer is in the aorist tense. It's one of six tenses in the Greek, aorist tense. That when you pray the Lord's Prayer, when you say, you're saying, this is what you're saying, Father, make your name holy in me right now. Make your kingdom come in me and everyone around me right now. I command your will and your word to be done as it is in heaven in me and everyone around me right now. Give me the bread that never ends right now. That's family. That's family. Hey, if you get out of line and get obnoxious, you stay in contact with your Father. He's going to straighten you out. It's the intimacy that brings humility. So I want us to, would you be willing to renew the covenant with me this morning? Would you really renew your covenant? You know, you can't have communion without getting saved. You know that, don't you? So, Pastor, can we hand out the elements? We're going to hand out some elements, and we're going to do this for real. So let's just bow our heads and pray as they hand out the elements, and let's just prepare our hearts to take inventory of our lives, to give thanks, to break the bread, and to give ourselves away. So yeah, you're just going to pass that down the aisle so everyone gets a piece of communion. And as they're passing this, just look, keep your eyes on me just for a moment. You know, when you operate in covenant as a house, as a family of God, jealousy just cannot have a foothold in your life. Because when somebody else excels at a higher level than you do, you're cheering for them. Because when any of us fulfills a Holy Ghost destiny, it lifts all boats. We all become stronger. I can become better than I was at whatever area of my life we're talking about when someone gets better than me, because it's going to pull me up. The answer, the person you're looking for that might pray for a breakthrough in your life, for a miracle healing, could be sitting right next to you. In Matthew 10:8, it says, freely receive and freely give. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. But we can't give what we don't have. Pride keeps us from asking for help from the person sitting next to us. Do you feel the freedom to ask for help? Will you pray for me? Pride keeps us from doing it. I feel it. Don't you feel it? But the person sitting next to you is just anointed as Pastor Jay or Randy Clark or Bill Johnson or Heidi Baker. We're all conduits of the Holy Spirit. And it's pride also that keeps us from giving. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves from giving out of the abundance of God's heaven on earth presence in our bodies and souls that's communicated through our voice and through our hands and our feet as we pray for people. So as we take in communion, we're not just vertically renewing our covenant with the Father, but we are renewing our covenant to each other as sons and daughters in the living God forever and ever. We are family. I'm in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I'll be heading back in a couple weeks. But hey, we are family. You and I, brothers and sisters, forever and ever. Isn't that awesome? We're going to spend eternity together. So let's prepare our hearts. Just close our eyes. Just take the bread with both hands. And Father, we just take inventory right now of our lives. We just bring to mind, Lord, all of the things that you've accomplished through us, all of our successes. And Father, we also bring to mind all of our struggles, all of the areas in our life that really don't measure up to the standard of Jesus. Now, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and your amazing love for us, Lord. Thank you, Father, that how you personally, passionately take care of all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that how you've loved me in spite of all the times that I've ignored you and disobeyed you. Jesus, you've always remained faithful, even when I was unfaithful to you. Now I break the bread and I choose your will, Father, over my own. I choose, Father, your ways, not my ways. Now you're going to keep one of the elements. And you don't have to eat the element that someone, just hand half to someone. You don't have to like eat it. But as a sign, give yourself away. Give a piece of bread to somebody else. We're not asking to, you don't have to eat it. But just as a sign, you just gave yourself away. You are in permanent covenant with a person sitting next to you. Now they take the part that you didn't give away and let's eat. Now Paul talks, says this is the body of the Messiah. It's the bread of covenant fellowship. So let's partake of the body of the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Father. If you have, do we have other elements left? Are there other elements up here? Could we just have them up here? We're just going to play a music. And I like just one row at a time, just to come and take, if you gave away all your elements, if you ate one, there's more elements up here. And I want you to come up and dip the body of the Messiah into the blood of Jesus. And remember, Paul says this is the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing, the body of the Messiah. So just one row at a time. Let's just remain in God's presence as we take the blood of the Messiah, the cup of blessing. Don't fight fair. Don't do it. Take communion. You know, Randy Clark is probably, I think, maybe the greatest apologist for the Holy Spirit and maybe the greatest walking historian of revival on our planet. And he says there are two signs of revival, and I know you guys want it, and it's hard happening right here, but Randy says the two signs of revival are unity, racial unity, and denominational unity. And he says denominational unity is harder than racial unity. And what you're doing when you're having communion and you're understanding what covenant is, that you're in a blood covenant with your Catholic brothers and sisters and your Lutheran brothers and sisters. You don't have to agree on everything to be in covenant. Families disagree, right? Yeah. What a weight. You don't have to be right. You just have to be in covenant with the Father and your brothers and sisters, and the fight is rigged to win. It's rigged. Whenever we do this, we declare the death and crucifixion of our Lord Jesus until he returns. That's what Paul said. Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. I hear a roar. Don't you hear the roar? You hear things just breaking up. That's so amazing. We're going to have altar time, and I'll let you do that.
Why don't y'all give honor what God just did here? Yeah. I told Dan that's the best message on communion I've ever heard. That was just absolutely tremendous. What we're going to do is our altar ministry team is going to be up here. The global team is going to be up here, and we want to pray for you. So if you need healing for anything, if you need an impartation of His touch, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you would want a spiritual gift or even the gift of tongues or any of those things, we would want to be able to pray for you and give you encouragement. But also know that we have, and so team, why don't you go ahead and come up, ministry team, and I know we have a few words of knowledge. Too. So if when they give a word of knowledge, if that's you, don't leave, because that's a sign that God wants to heal you of what that word is. And so make sure you stick around and have one of them pray for you. I have one request, two of you guys. If y'all would be praying for us at 2:00 today, we're going to be having the memorial service for Chris here. And so afterwards, if there's a few guys that'd be willing to help me stack some of these chairs just on that side of things, because we're going to have a brief reception afterwards, I would appreciate that. Too, don't forget, in addition to your tithes and offerings, we have the love offering basket up here. So make sure that you just give honor to what God has done in and through their life too. So why don't y'all stand up with us together? And was to say, yes, Lord. I agree with everything that you're wanting to do in my life. Amen. Okay. So here's the words of knowledge. Go ahead.
I don't know what it is, but it's a problem with one of the vertebrae around right here and right here in the back. I don't know who that's for.
Somebody on the right side of their face, on the lining of their jaw, there's pain, that a throbbing and like sharp pain that shoots down. Right to the chin. So if that's you, bless him.
I had some words of knowledge. Right leg, right hip. You have a spinal issue with your spine. Left knee, your pelvis, you have an issue with your pelvis. Someone that has cataracts in their eyes, you need healing. Just 1 minute, please. Also, I had somebody that had a shoulder blade issue in the back, and a right shin issue. So,
I was also feeling something with the left knee as well, and then maybe even with the left ankle.
So if that's you at all, would you go ahead and raise your hand? If any of those words of knowledge landed, okay, I'm going to ask you guys to go ahead and come out first to go to the person that gave it. And our ministry team, why don't you guys go ahead and come up here as well. And we're just going to watch God continue to do what He's doing. Amen. All right. You guys are more than welcome to fellowship as well. Before we leave, we love you guys. Remember, spring break this week, so we will not have Wednesday night service. Any of this stuff, we'll be back next week. Love you guys.